From a beating, there were stripes upon his back. walked that path. And by the way, he chose. Nobody took his life from him. He gave it up freely. Amen. 2 Samuel tonight, where you're at in 2 Samuel chapter 15. Thank you, ladies. Thank you to our musicians and everything, too, for your job. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Isn't it good to come and hear about our Lord Jesus Christ? He's risen, talking about the blood that he shed and everything. We're never going to get away from that, brethren, at this church. We are appreciative of what he's done for us. Somebody says you offend somebody if you talk about the blood. Then rip out half your Bible, amen? God wrote it, we're going to stay with it. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 15. The situation here is that Absalom, under Ahithophel's encouragement, has began to conspire against David and in fact had taken over temporarily the kingdom. I want you to see in chapter 15 of 2 Samuel, look at verse number 17, please. Verse number 17. The Bible says this, it's King David. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him. I want you to notice this. And all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, all those ites, amen? 600 men, which came after him from where? From Gath. What's interesting about that is that's where Goliath was from. Goliath was from Gath, and remember who killed Goliath? David did. What you've got to understand there is the Cherethites and the Pelethites and the Gittites, they came from a place that used to be of the enemies of David. They came from Gath, which was the hometown, if you would, of Goliath and all his families. And now here they are joining up with King David. Verse 19. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king. For thou art a what? Say it. Hey, you know, Ittai, you're a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but when? Say it. Say it again. What? I ask you again this question. When did Ittai come according to David? Yesterday. Should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also where thy servant be. And David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. Brother, do you see that the Cherethites, the Pelethites, and the Gittites all joined up with David, and they were from Gath. And Ittai the Gittite evidently came a little while later, because as we study the Bible, we'll find out that the Cherethites were there a long time before. Look with me, holding your place in 2 Samuel 15. We'll come back here in a minute. Look at 1 Samuel 27. And by the way, let's study our Bible tonight. We learn by studying his book. Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 27, holding your place in 2 Samuel 15. By the way, when was it that Ittai the Gittite came? Yesterday, is that right? Not too long ago, he just got there. 1 Samuel chapter 27. And notice, if you would, starting with verse number 1, you're holding your place in 2 Samuel chapter 15. The Bible says this, it was just after David had the opportunity to kill Saul again. Verse 1, and David said in his heart, I shall now one day, or shall perish one day, by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better of me than I should speedily escape into the land of where? Say it, the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in the coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Watch. And David arose and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maach, king of Gath. I want you to notice that Achish was the king of Gath. Verse 3, and David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household. And it goes on down to say that David received something from Achish, the king of Gath. Look at verse 6. Then Achish gave him what town, what city? Ziglag. That day, wherefore Ziglag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And that time, and the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. 16 months he was there. And if you understand what's happening here, he goes down to Gath to escape in his imagination that Saul's going to kill him. He escapes down to the land of the Philistines.
He joins up a little bit with Achish, king of Gath. Remember, it's the same place that David had destroyed the Goliath, who was a resident of Gath. And now he's down there, and Achish gives him Ziklag. Look at chapter 28. Stay with me. Chapter 28, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare, to fight with Israel. And Achish said, that's the king of Gath, unto David, "Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy man." And David said to Achish, "Shall surely thou shalt know what thy servants can do." And Achish said to David, "Watch, therefore, will I make thee keeper of mine head forever." You know what he says to David? "You all are going to be my bodyguards. You're going to be a keeper of mine head." You know what he was doing? It would be like the president has a secret service guard. David, if you was allowed to go to Achish, king of Gath, and Achish trusted him enough and made him the keeper of his head, which meant that David and his men became the secret service to Achish. They became the bodyguards to Achish, if you would. By the way, that wasn't real well received by the rest of the Philistines. Because the Bible says this, look over in chapter 29. Chapter 29. Stay with me. Chapter 29. Now, verse 1. "The Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel." Watch. "And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands. But David and his men passed on in the" where? The rearward. With who? Achish. You see, the king, all the armies went before the king. And here comes Achish, the king of Gath. And here comes David and his men, his secret service, his bodyguards, if you would. And they're going with the king. Verse 3. "Then said the princes of the Philistines," watch, "what do these Hebrews here?" "And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years? And I found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day." And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, "Make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place, which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith shall he reconcile unto his master, should it not be with the heads of the men? Is not this David, of whom they sang one to another and danced, saying, Saul slew his thousands and David's his 10,000? You know who the thousands that were slew? Philistines. And David his 10,000s? Philistines. Watch. "Then Achish called David and said unto him, Surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright." Boy, David had him fooled, because he had not been upright. Read through some of the chapters I skipped over. But the point was this. It got to the place where the Philistines said, "We don't want this David with us," because they sang about him killing all the thousands of the Philistines. "We don't want him to go down with us." And so Achish said, "You can't come down." And by the way, brethren, that's the same battle they were going to where Saul and Jonathan was killed. I believe with all my heart that God providentially hindered David from going. Because that was the exact battle that they were going to, that David was marching out towards with Achish as his bodyguard, that Saul was going to die and Jonathan was going to die. Isn't it interesting that the anointed king over Israel was the bodyguard to his enemy? He was already anointed king. Come on. Samuel had already come by and dumped the horn of oil on him. And the Gath, the Philistines, were at this time his enemy. And here is David, the anointed king of Israel in the future, going out to be his bodyguard, but God stopped him because that was the battle where Saul would die and Jonathan would die. So look what happens. David in chapter 30, stay with me. David goes back to that place where Achish had given him, called Ziklag. Verse 1, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire." The Bible says they took all the women captive and there was a great stir at Ziklag. But I want you to see, watch. Verse 10, "David was told to pursue, but David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 men abode behind. They were so faint that they could not go over the brook Bezor." Watch. "And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water." Watch. "And he gave him a piece of a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisin. When he had eaten, his spirit came again unto him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to Amalekite, and my master left me, because 3 days agone I fell sick. Look what he says. We made an invasion upon the south of the, who? Cherethites. And upon the coast which belonged to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb. And we burned Ziglag with fire. He says, you know what? We've been on a somewhat of a party, a raid. And not only did we raid Ziglag, but we raided the Cherethites. Remember, they were part of the Philistines at Gath. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to the company? Well, the Amalekite makes him swear, but look what happens when they bring him down, verse 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, there were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of where? The Philistines. That's the Cherethites. And out of the land of Judah, that's Ziglag. And David smote them from the twilight, even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered what? Say it. You know what he recovered? Not only everything in Ziglag, but he recovered everything that they had taken from the Cherethites. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. There was nothing lacking to them. Neither small or great, neither sons or daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them, David recovered. What? Say it. You know what's interesting here? David goes out and does what God tells him to do. God said, pursue. He had no idea and did not understand when God said to pursue that not only would he recover all that was taken out of Ziglag, but also he'd recover all that was taken out of the Cherethites. And because of his recovering of that, and because of his salvation of all those women and children and everything that was taken from the Cherethites, because he did what God told him to do, that later on the Cherethites would join forces with him. Brother, I want to say something to you. We don't have to wonder where we should go and what we should do. Anybody that has a soul, anybody that has a need, anybody that needs some help, doesn't matter what color they are, doesn't matter where they come from, doesn't matter what part of the city, we ought to do our best to pursue and do God's work. You never know when you run into somebody that later on they become part of your group and part of your work. I'm telling you tonight, it's so good to have all these different ministries going on. We don't have a diocese where we're confined by space and geographics. We can go into the whole world and preach the gospel. David does what he's supposed to do and ends up recovering the Cherethites. And you know the story. The Cherethites join forces with David. Where'd he get them from? Look at 1 Chronicles 18. You're still holding your place in 2 Samuel. Look at 1 Chronicles 18. Stay with me. First Chronicles 18. Verse 1. Now after this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. And look what he does. And took where? He took Gath and her towns out of the hands of the Philistines. You know who he got? Here he had those Cherethites, and now not only the Cherethites, but the Pelethites and the Gittites. I mean, David just goes and conquers and conquers and conquers and conquers. And these Cherethites and these Pelethites and these Gittites become his bodyguard, become his secret service. My point is this, brother. It's so wonderful to see people from all different places come. And it's not so much the concept of nobody in this, or anybody in this world can get saved, but may I say this to you? We don't worry about how hard they are. We don't worry about how tough they are. We don't worry about how far down they are. We don't worry about how rich they are. We don't worry about what section of the county they come from. They got souls, and if they want to come and get saved and join up, we want them. Hold your place in 1 Chronicles 18 and go back to 2 Samuel 15. 1 Chronicles 18. Well, you think we could invite them to church? Do you think it'd be okay if they come? If they got a soul, they can come. 2 Samuel chapter 15. holding your place in 1 Chronicles 18. Now watch. 2 Samuel 15. Look again, if you would, verse 18. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something. These men that came from Gath, I don't know if they were little, small men. Wouldn't surprise me if you know anything about some of the military organizations. In order to get into the guard, in the Marine Corps, it's called 8th and I. In order to get into embassy duty, in order to get into a special type of honor guard or a special type, you've got to be so tall or you don't qualify. You've got to have a certain stature about you or you don't qualify. I'm going to tell you something. These Cherethites, these Pelethites, and these Gittites, they came from Gath. We already know what Goliath looked like. And we already knew what his sons looked like. I wonder how big these men were. You talk about a force. And not only did they join, but Ittai the Gittite came. And when did Ittai the Gittite come as far as David was concerned? He came just when? Yesterday. Look back, if you would, at 1 Chronicles 18. 1 Chronicles 18. In 1 Chronicles 18, brother, look at verse 17. Watch. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and the sons of David were chief about the king. Now, you've got to understand about that man named Benaiah. He's a very prominent character in this realm where David, if you would, is done with Joab and Solomon. Look back at 1 Chronicles 11. Stay with me. Say, preacher, are we going somewhere? We are. Stay with me. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Somebody says, you know, I come to hear a story. You're hearing a story. No, I come to hear a story. Well, this is a story. We said, well, I want to come out here a better story. God wrote the story. It's a good one. Amen? 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Look at verse 22. Benaiah. Remember, he was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites, who was from Gath. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also he went down and slew a lion in a pit on a snowy day. He slew an Egyptian and a man of great stature, 5 cubits high. And in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. Sounds like to me it wasn't just big-time wrestling, amen? Look at verse 24. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighty. Watch. Behold, he was honorable among the 30. He attained not to the first three. Watch. And David set him over his what? His what? That's his personal bodyguard. That's his personal secret service. Benaiah and those Cherethites and those Pelethites, those Gittites, were close into David. And here's what's interesting. David was the bodyguard for Achish, king of Gath. David never realized that one day the same at Gath, the Pelethites, the Cherethites, and some of those Gittites would be his own bodyguard. God has a wonderful way of working things out. Oh, by the way, Ittai the Gittite came when? Say it. It was just yesterday that he came. You see, there was people that joined up way back at Ziklag because of what David had been allowed to do for them, and God added them at Ziklag. He added them at Adullam, and he added them at Ziklag, and he added them at Hebron, and he even added those at Jerusalem, and one of them was Ittai the Gittite. Look, if you would, with me at 1 Kings chapter 1. Stay with me. 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. Still okay? Come on, we still okay? One of the things I want from you as a church is so you know the Bible. We study it. 1 Kings chapter 1. By the way, you say, boy, I got some visitors here tonight. They're not following along. Hey, I tell you what. Visitors like to study their book. They might not get it all at the first time, or they may get everything, but I tell you what. They get thirsty for it later because the book is what does the work. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 1. David is getting ready to turn everything over. And notice in verse number 1, I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 8, there's two, there's Adonijah and there's Solomon. Adonijah wants to take over, but Zadok the priest and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. Adonijah was the one that wanted to take over, but if you notice there, Benaiah wouldn't go with him. Wouldn't be a part of that. And notice if you would, a little bit farther on and look at verse 36. Actually, verse 32 of chapter 1, verse 32. And King David said, "Call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." And they came before the king. The king said also unto them, "Take with you the servants of your Lord, and call Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule and bring him down to Gihon." You know who those servants were? That was the Cherethites and the Pelethites. Those were former Philistines at Gath that get ready to help Solomon become king. Look at verse 36. Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, what? Amen. Amen. The Lord God of my Lord, the king say so too. And the Lord hath been with my Lord, the king, even so be he with Solomon, make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord David. So Zadok, the priest, Nathan, the prophet, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and the who? Cherethites. And the who? Pelethites, went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. Isn't that interesting? They follow through David's kingdom and all the way over to Solomon's. Huh. How long have they been with David? At least we know since Ziklag. But they stayed with him all the way through, even to Solomon. Let me give you some thoughts right about here. I want you to turn to Matthew 20 and hold your place right there. Matthew chapter 20. And hold your place. When did Ittai the Gittite show up? When? Talk to me. Yesterday. Ziklag, Matthew 20 you're holding. Ziklag was where David, when told to pursue, went out, not knowing that not only would he bring back his own, but he would bring back the Cherethites, and they joined him. And then the Pelethites, the Gittites. David had him join him at Adullam and at Ziklag and at Hebron and at Jerusalem. But may I say to you, the ones that joined way back at Adullam, even though they'd been there for a long time, were important. But may I say, the one that joined just yesterday, Ittai the Gittite, he was just as important. Some of us have been at this thing together for a long time, relatively speaking. Some of us have been laboring together for 18 years now. That's where I came into the picture. Some of us remember back in the days of the Amherst property and the wooden pews and all those things. And to you that's been here for years and years and years and years, thanks for your faithfulness. Some of you joined us at the SDA property. And you've been with us, so, 2 or 3 years almost. And thank you for coming. And some of y'all just joined us yesterday. And some of you are here today for the first time and you're going, not too bad. May I say to you, whether you joined us 18 years ago at the Amherst property, way back at the cave, or whether you joined us just yesterday or just today, you are important. May I say to you, if you've been here for years and years and years, you ought to be rejoicing that God's adding to us. And it ought to not be, who are all these people coming in and taking up the pews where we used to sit? Hey, you ought to say, praise God, there's more coming. There might be an Ittai the Gittite in there somewhere. You that have just joined, or you just that are new, don't you dare think that we who go back a ways think any less of you. Don't you dare let Satan put that in your mind. Well, I'm just new to your church. Wait a minute, stop right there. If you've been here 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months, this might be your church. Sooner or later, why this church needs to be your church. Well, I wasn't with you at Amherst. And we just, you know, we weren't there at the seventh day and we just joined up. You know, hey, wait a minute. If God's placed you here, tell your children this is now our church. I mean, take some ownership. You say, but this is your church. No, no, no. If you're part here, you say, well, you're in a new building. It's all new to us, too. May we never hear somebody in our church looking at somebody and saying, well, you don't understand. You're new here. Or take your time and help them to understand, and don't try to put them down because you came at Ziklag and they came at Jerusalem. We prayed for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers in the harvest, and now that He's sent forth laborers, don't put them down. We need them, you fool. You think you can do it all yourself? If you're new here, don't you listen just for a moment. We've been around for a while. We better not get moss on our back. We ought to thank God for the growth. We ought to thank God for the new people. We ought to thank God for the ones that came at SCA. You say, well, I've been here since SCA. Great, glad to have you here, man. And when Ittai the Gittite shows up and just been here since yesterday, David said, you don't need to pass over. Ittai says, I'm part of this. And David said, pass over. But he didn't stop there. Look at Matthew 20. Verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. Watch. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. Wait a minute. When did he go out to hire those laborers? In the morning. So he hired laborers early in the morning. And he went out about the third hour. That's about 9 in the morning. And saw others standing in the idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth. That's noon. And the ninth, that's 3 in the afternoon. And did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. Did you notice they were all idle until he found them? Come on. Why stand you here all the day? What? Say it. Idle. Nothing worse than an idle Christian. You say, are you putting them down? No, I'm saying they need an opportunity. This one went out and said, hey, listen, why are you idle? I got something you can do. They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. The last was the one that came in the 11th hour. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour. They received every man, what? Say it. Say it. Penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man, what? Isn't that what he promised them? Did they get what he promised them? And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them, say the next word, say it, equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, hey friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that as that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. And he called, but few chosen. Do you see, brethren, that the ones that started way back at the beginning of the day were equal Come on. With those that start in the third hour of the day, and the sixth hour of the day, and the ninth hour of the day, and yea, even the 11th hour of the day, it was all equal. You know what that tells me? That the ones that started early in the morning and worked all day long should not think of themselves more highly than the one that came at the 11th hour and gave everything that they had to give for that 1 hour that they could give. It wasn't so much that one was better than the other. God said, you're all equal, here's your penny. I think we got a good spirit about our church. I don't know if anybody would say, I've been here since the morning. And you just showed up the last part of the day and just worked a little bit. You don't understand all that we've gone through, and there's just no way you could understand what we've been through. So where are Amherst property people? Well, we're SDA joiners. Or we just came the 11th hour. We just got here, but we like to work too. And I say to you that are new, jump in. The pay is the same. And we're glad you're here. Don't you ever look and say, we've only been here a couple months, only been here 3 months. You know, all these other people have been here for years and years and years. If you came the 11th hour, you're still part of the laborers in the vineyard. You ought to shout and say, let me get in. It's time. We're glad to have you. We didn't know we would end up here. And some of you one day will say, I joined back at Skyline. Don't get comfortable here. You say, aren't we buying this place? Yeah. But we're just passing through. So what you got planned next? I have no idea. But I do know this. One day it'll be, I joined at Amherst. The cave. And somebody will say, I joined at SDA. Ziglag. And somebody will say, I joined at Skyline. Hebron. And somebody will say, I just came yesterday. They say, where are we going to be? Jerusalem. In my lifetime, God willing, with a little bit of more grace and time and tarrying, we'll see one more move. Man, we're just getting used to this one. Are you really? I'm already used to it. In fact, it's getting old already. Look around. It's our first Sunday night. God's already added some. And by the way, if you just came, welcome, welcome. I know you want to get to know us a little bit and find out what we believe and find out where we're at and shop around and look for your place. But find it, man. Find it. Time's running out. Redeem the time. Use all you have. Jump in. Get involved. Become a Gideon. Become a worker. Become a prayer warrior in some way, shape, or form, and be a part of our church. When did Ittai the Gittite show up? Look, if you would, at 2 Samuel 18. I'm almost finished. Don't you dare think that we're looking down on you. Because we're not. And if somebody does, it's their problem, not yours. And I say to you who have been around here for a while, let them in, let them on. Let them jump in, find out what they can do.
You say, this is a strange Sunday evening message, is it really? Not for a growing church. So where do these people come from? Oh, we were down at Ziglag and something terrible happened and God told us what to do and we did it. We didn't know what we were doing, but God added more to us because of it. We started a bus route and we didn't know, but we reached a family out there we didn't know was there that are here tonight. We went out door knocking. We didn't know who was there, but there you were behind that door. You were broken and heard about us, and so you called us and you came, and you came in cautious. You didn't know what to expect. You still don't know what's going on, but it's not that bad. Because after 18 years, I don't still know what's going on yet either. If I ever find out, I'll think I did it. And I know I didn't do it. He did it. Amen? When a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing. Look at 2 Samuel 18. Where did he join up? It was just yesterday. But you know, old David, man after God's own heart, it wasn't very long labor. David wasn't gone that long from when he left and walked up that mountain. He made a ferry journey across the river and wasn't over there that long. And when he was coming back and he started his first battle after he had come back across, getting ready to, verse 1 of chapter 18, watch. And David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds. Now they're going after Absalom. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of who? Ittai? Who? The Gittite. Wait a minute, didn't he just come yesterday? What's he doing getting to be in leadership already? Didn't he just show up yesterday? I've been here all these years. And Ittai shows up and all of a sudden he's a leader. Don't you dare get jealous. You say, who just showed up is going to become a leader? I don't know. Well, somebody does. Don't go home to your tent at night and have roast Ittai. It's an amazing story. David runs the Gath out of his imagination and ends up being the bodyguard to Achish. And at Ziklag, he goes out not knowing what he's doing. He was stopped from going to the war because Jonathan and Saul were going to die. And he helps the Cherethites, and before long he's king. By the time it's all done, the Cherethites and the Pelethites and the Gittites, they're all his bodyguard. And they're so faithful to him. And God just continues to bless and bless and bless. Brethren, please look up here and listen. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to have to figure it out how God builds a kingdom and where they come from. Don't try to figure it out and say, well, let's figure out what God's going to do next in our church. I was surprised beyond surprise this morning with all the people that showed up on Time Change Sunday. I'm a little bit aghast tonight that the place is 3/4 full. You say, we should have bought bigger. There wasn't any other places available bigger. We still got a pretty good financial mountain to climb. This is the place for us right now. People are going to be walking that door over the next couple of months and they're going to jump into this place. And they're all going to be like the rest of us. And we're not changing our standards, and we're not changing our music, and we're not changing our Bible, and we're not changing what we believe, and we're not changing the blood, and we're not changing anything. I'm going to be who I've been for a long time, hopefully a little bit more like Christ.
But God knows what they're looking for. Some are looking for salvation and some are backslidden looking for a place to belong. Let's get away from this my seat. I've been sitting there since the Amherst property. That's my place. We were there. I've been there since SDA. No, you don't understand. This is my place. I've been here since yesterday. Don't worry. We can fit 50 guys right up here. There's room. We got room for chairs in the aisle. Bring them in. Go out and get them. Don't go out and say, that house looks like somebody rich lives in there. Or this looks like our kind of neighborhood. Our kind of neighborhood is any kind of neighborhood. I mean, you go on a door, knock on the door, and behind there is some Christian that says they're contemporary. Bring them into church. They can get converted. Look at some of y'all. I mean, you go to the door and knock on it, and here comes a guy with a beer and a cigarette. What do you want? That's a potential church member. He'll fit well here. And such were some of us. I'm saying tonight it's wonderful to be a part of a church where we've just come along, but if you're new here, God help you. You'll get a penny like we get a penny. And if you're idle, that's Scotty. You'll hear him preach once in a while from the pews. And that's fine. Some of his messages are better than mine. We're not losing what we are and who we are. Come and get your penny. Come on, jump in, get your penny. Come on. Enough looking at the marketplace. Same old stuff going on down there. Come and get your penny. Jump in and be a prayer warrior. Jump in and be a Gideon. Be a greeter. Say, I don't know what I could do. I don't know if I could be a greeter in your section. Get a section. You say, I just got here. Get a section and greet some people. You say, I don't know anybody. So greet them all. Isn't church a place where we're supposed to provoke each other to love and good works? Come get your penny. You say, who's going to give it to us? He will. He will. Easter, a lot of folks are going to show up. And if one shows up, it's still worth it all. But they're going to show up because we're going to work this week. We're going to pray. I'm praying for a little house just down the road. The man who raised me lives down there. Don't tell me God doesn't know what He's doing. I stopped in to see Him just the other day saying, we're at the church now. You said you'd come. Hey, come and get your penny! It's my brother. You say, oh, I got some relatives who never get saved. Right. See what God does. But we need to be willing, those of us been here for a long time, we need to be willing to move over and say, there's room for you. In fact, here, you take my seat. I'll go sit somewhere else.
You take my parking spot. I'll go park down here. Leave that parking up there if you're physically encumbered in some way. Park up there. If you're one of our elderly brethren, we count you worthy of honor. Park up here. If you've got a bunch of kids, drop them off and park down there. Leave it for the visitors. You say, well, when do they stop becoming a visitor and move down there? We'll take care of that. Don't you worry about that. Welcome. You say, what can I do? I don't know if I can do anything. We thought the same thing of ourselves, and we still do. Find somewhere. Find something. Find a place. Jump in. We're going somewhere for the Lord. If you've been here for a while, thank you for staying. If you just got here, thank you for coming. But we are all equal. And will remain so. Sinners saved by grace. And only by His grace do we get the opportunity to do whatever it is we're doing. And we go home at night and thank Him. And if you're to the place you're saying, you know, I've been here a long time and I'm just getting out of my... It's about time you hit an altar, mossy back. Nobody knows. But if that's what's in your crawl tonight, why don't you get it out? Now, wait a minute. I'm going to tell you new people something. New? How old new? I don't know. Maybe you just came yesterday. You're looking at a group of people that are glad you are here. Not many of us got moss growing on our backs because we've been in this book and it scrapes it off all the time. It keeps it fresh. Those bus ministries keep it fresh. The soul winning keeps it fresh. The fact that we haven't stagnated keeps it fresh. We haven't sit anywhere in a long time. We keep going. I say, we're going to get comfortable here. Get comfortable for a couple months. Then move over and see what God does tonight. Wherever you came, we're glad to have you. Why don't you make it your church? I know that takes time and trust. But in your home, start saying our church to your children. Let them have a place and a part. If you're still looking, then don't say that yet. Pray. And let's see what God does. Let's all stand. Come get your penny. Say, what do you mean? You started in the morning. Don't quit yet. You started the third hour. It's not time to quit yet. Harvest isn't over. Day's not done. You come at midnight. I'm sorry, at noon. It's not time to quit yet. You came in at 3 in the afternoon. Day's not done yet. Well, you just got here at the 11th hour. Day's done. New day's starting. Let's go back out again. Every day, he said, I'll just give you a penny for that day's work. Brethren, tonight, I asked you as you look up at me to do a couple of things. Number one, you've been here some Amherst and SDA. Could I recruit you to pray that the Lord of the harvest send laborers into the harvest? Could I recruit an attitude that says, when he sends them, rejoice. And move over and let them in. Let them up on that ladder to pick the fruit. Let them carry that bushel. Show them how. Let them see us busy so they want to be busy. Could I ask those who've been here for years and years and years to make them comfortable and thank them for coming and being a part? Wait a minute. And for those who just came yesterday, we don't have a situation where there's not room. We've always got something new we're looking at, something new God wants us to do. a place God would have for you. Looks like to me that David said, Ittai, you take a third part of the army and you lead them in the battle. I know what you're capable of. And everybody else had to receive and accept it. And I'm not saying we've got some new leader in here. But I'm saying, brethren, we have to keep the attitude right. And if you're new, thank you, thank you, thank you for following God's leading here. Please, as soon as you can, get comfortable with us. I know it takes a while, but get comfortable with us. We have the desire to do what you have desire to do. Please the Lord, that's all. Please the Lord. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, some may need to come, if you would please, and say, God, send laborers in the harvest. Some may need to come and say, I think I'm one of those laborers that they've been praying for. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you thank God tonight for the bus ministry? Pray for Easter and the cantata coming up and the conquering the land. Pray that God will help some of these ones that just came in for the first time today to feel comfortable. Pray that those who raised their hand for salvation this morning, and some of those bus kids who came for the first time today and got saved, one of these days there'll be a testimony up on the screen, Lord willing. I'm asking you to pray tonight and thank God. If you've been at the work for a long time, if you came in the morning, why don't you thank God and say, let me not grow weary at those that are coming in the 11th hour. Let me rejoice that they're coming. Let me not grow weary at because I come at, you know, the third hour. God, help me to have the stamina to keep on going. Let me rejoice in what we're doing, and let us all be equal in our importance for the Lord Jesus Christ as unto this church this night. If you need salvation, we'd love to see you receive Christ as your Savior, not for our good, but for your good and to give God pleasure. If you want to just take a time and kneel at your pew or sit at your pew and have some prayer right there. If you come in our church and you have children, let them get used to the church and the work. Thank you for your faithfulness this last week to be flexible. The Thursday night service, the Sunday morning time change at 11:15. The Sunday evening Sunday school, thank you for that. This night, as we get ready to dismiss in just a few moments, thank you for your flexibility this week. I know many of you are tired, and you got secular work to do all next week. I understand that. Let's continue to reach out with your heads bowed and eyes closed, please, everybody. I'm not sure of my salvation tonight, Pastor. I don't know if I've ever been born again. I don't know if I've ever received Christ as my personal Savior. Would you pray for me with your heads bowed and eyes closed? Pray for me. I'm not sure about my salvation. And let me look just for a moment. We're not going to go without giving somebody an opportunity. You're new in our deaf ministry. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your flexibility in finding out where your Sunday school classes were and your children's classes. It took me a while to find one of mine this morning. Thank you for the upgrades on our using our SAFE program, all that you've been working on that. I saw the fruit of it and the results of it this morning already. Trying to have more controls over who's where and who's why and who's what and who's taking whom. Thank you for that. I know it's new, but we have to do it. Thank you for your good attitude towards that. With growth has to come some new attitudes. Thank you for your willingness to obey the parking lot attendants and help with the cleanup of this facility. Thank you for your participation in Gideon's. And there's always room for more Gideon's. Always. Take your time. Some are still praying. Easter. Easter, just around the corner. Ushers, if you would, grab off the brochures if we have some back there for Easter and some of our church brochures. And let's just have those available to pass out one more time tonight before Easter. If you're new here, you say, well, I don't know if I want to invite anybody to the church or not. Well, if you don't have a church or you're wondering if this is your church, why don't you invite somebody to Easter that you know? There was somebody come up to me today and said, Pastor, I'd like to introduce you to my visitors today. They came and we met them on the streets on Friday night. They came to church with me this morning. Street ministry still works. Some of you ushers grab off some of those church brochures and the Easter flyers. When you're ready, as soon as you're ready, come on down. We'll give out some of these one last time in our Sunday night service before Easter. If you're in the pew and standing, you'd like to be seated while some are still praying, do so as we get these last things out and we'll get out of here. Get you home tonight. Guys, if you have them, come on down as soon as you can and start passing some of those out. If you want some of these flyers for Easter, I'm telling you, it works. It works. It works. We're having families visit because they're being invited and they're being given one of these flyers and prayer is going on. In this section over here, wherever you are, just hold up your hand if you want some. Take some. If you've never seen it before, if you're new here, first day here, if you just came yesterday, why don't you take one of these flyers and brochures. Take a few of them. Let somebody know that we're here. And if you're still looking at us a little cautiously, we understand. But the Word of God can do the work. Amen, ushers. Good job tonight. Take what you need. Thank you for your patience as we finish this off. Some of you have been here since 5 o'clock. So, wow, you've been in church 3 hours. Say, man, I don't know if I can get used to it. Well, a ball game lasts about that long. Especially if it goes into extra innings. A movie lasts about that long. We're not trying to extend it out past what it should be, but when you look at what we've given ourselves to in the past, it should be no big deal to give ourselves to the Lord for a few hours and enjoy what He's done for us and what He's done for our church. Now, just before we leave tonight, the next 3 to 5 minutes, I want Chanel and Larry to come. We're going to dedicate a young child tonight. That will dismiss y'all. We've had a great, great week. Monday and Tuesday night, Brother Trevor. Wednesday night, I don't know about you, it felt unusual being out of church. Come right on that. Grandma here too, amen. And then Thursday night, our services. Boy, if you weren't here Thursday night, I think we may have got it on video. It was great. And then this morning, tonight, this is the Hummels. And, well, I tell you what, this is one of those laborious type of pregnancies that we prayed for quite a while. You were down for a while. I had to stay down. I know you were praying. And, well, I tell you what, you felt like a goat out at sea, didn't you, man? I mean, you couldn't do anything. And Larry here, I got to meet him a while back. Larry's a quiet guy. And likes to go fishing, guys. Man, did I get that right? A little hunting, a little beef jerky, and God's given them a new child. And they're new to our church, if you would, been here for a while, but new in the right way. And this is Alyssa, and this little baby was one we prayed for, and God brought her in and gave grace. And so tonight, for those of you who don't know, if Alyssa could profess to us that she knows Christ as her Savior, we would then baptize her. But she's not able to talk yet, we don't know. And so what we do is we dedicate him back to the Lord like Hannah did. A young boy named who? Samuel. And so we're going to ask tonight as a church that God give Larry and Sherry wisdom, that God reach this young child and use her in her life. Let's pray together, would you please? Our Father, tonight, thank you for bringing this couple together. And thank you for the testimony of how they grew up in Christian school and met. And God, you transferred them out here and they found out about our church and now they come and God, you gave him a child. And so unbelievable the responsibility. I know the first child.
And I see a happy mom and grandmother and a father just rejoicing. I pray tonight, Father, as a pastor of our church, as representing our congregation, and ask, Lord, that you would give them wisdom as parents, Lord, especially in this day and age. And God, as long as you leave them here, can we be an example to them? And Lord, as Alyssa grows, we pray at a young age you'd reach her with the gospel, that her understanding would be open, that she'd receive you as a young age. And then, God, we pray that you would keep her pure. May she not know some of the things that we know. May she never know them, Lord. May she be simple concerning evil. May she never be involved in some of the things some of us have been involved in, Father. May it be so foreign to her that it never crosses her mind. And then, God, would you use her in however you intended to use her on this earth, that she could give you pleasure. I appreciate, Father, and good godly grandmother and her support, and thank you for this time when they can be together. Bless this family tonight, I pray. Bless this young little girl. And God, may we be good an example to her. And may she learn the right things from us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, Brother Larry, you make sure you take that little girl out to eat. And she's been so good tonight. In fact, I'd take all these girls out. Amen, brother. Let's all stand.